We had picked up a second guide to steer us through Macedonia, which Nicola knew scarcely at all, a wonderful Christian whom everyone called Little Uncle. Now Uncle pointed to two tracks across a field and assured us that this was the road to Nosaki. The tracks got fainter and the ruts deeper until the undercarriage of the car was scraping the soft earth, and at last we found ourselves driving across a freshly ploughed field. "So much for your road," I said. "How much farther, Uncle?" "But we're here," he said, pointing to a clump of trees in the distance. So we got out of the car and tramped across the field until we got to the little collection of mud huts called Nosaki. There was supposed to be a church here, but we saw no trace of one. Nicola made inquiries and learned that there was in fact a church in the village, but it had only one member. She was the widow Anna, who had converted her home into a church to which no one came. We went to visit Anna. She was amazed that a missionary had come to her little village. "But I should not be surprised," she corrected herself. "Have I not been praying for help?" Anna showed us her church. It was forbidden to hold religious services in a private home, so Anna had simply closed off one room and put a sign on it reading Molitven Dom, prayer house. When she put up the sign, there were raised eyebrows among the village's few party members, but no one really objected. After all, Anna was quite alone in this silly superstition of hers, and she was harming nobody. Now, however, a preacher was here. Word flew from cottage to cottage. Almost no one in the village had ever laid eyes on anyone from outside Macedonia, let alone from a foreign country. Whether this was the appeal or whether there were more religious reasons, I do not know. But that evening, after dark, it was as if the fields were alive with glowworms weaving and blinking their way across the fields to Anna's house. We began by teaching them a hymn, and then we told them the gospel story, for Anna assured us that the younger generation had never heard it. We were singing a second hymn when suddenly there was a loud pounding on the door. Everyone stopped singing. Anna opened the door, and there stood two uniformed police. They walked to the front of the room. For a long time they simply stood there, running their eyes over the congregation. Then they went to one side of the room to get a better look at faces. Finally they took out their notebooks and began writing down names. When they had finished, they asked a few questions about Nicola and me, and then left as abruptly as they had come. But the meeting was not the same after that. Several villagers went home at once. Those who stayed sang with no enthusiasm. When the time came for an altar call, I was surprised that anyone would raise his hand, and yet several did. "You have seen tonight what following Christ might mean," I said.